Ouch, you bit me, Zombie Survival Guide. Brandon Blackmore, moderating. Say what you said again, briefly.
Anita Allen, huge fan, or costuming and writing, huge fan of really bad, obscure movies and writing, and totally ruthless person who will kill you if I think you've been bitten.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I hadn't recorded yet. And you?
I'm Scott Nicholson. I write mostly horrors and thrillers and have a zombie collection. I've also been in a zombie walk, among other things, and I'm a big fan of bad movies, and most zombie movies are bad movies, but... good, bad.
Indifferent. Good, bad. I'm a guy with a gun. My name is Bruce Scholl. I am the Bruce from GeekRadioDaily.com. Ding. I have been a podcaster for going on around about 5 years now, which in the podiosphere is a really, really, really long time. My show, we talk about everything in pop culture, so the topic of zombies has come up a half dozen or so times in the 5 years we've been doing this. So I have read as much as I can about the zombie universe and all that rigmarole. So I like to consider myself just a little bit of an expert on zombies.
I don't have a sound effect. But my name is Jason Buterin. I did bring Jesus, however, though, if that makes up for it. I'm the creative director of a ragtag band of movie-making misfits known as Mad Ones Films, and we actually have a film screening going on in the next room after this panel, a short film called The Gospel According to Booze Bullets and Hot Pink Jesus. While it doesn't have anything to do with zombies, it does have a little bit of Tarantino and Twilight Zone influence to it, but we've done a lot of different films within Mad Ones. We did a series called The Zombie Service Announcements, as ZSAs, which were like our little homage to the 1980s, after school special PSA kind of feel goodery. We have all those available online if anybody would like to check them out. Zing.
You did have a sound effect.
I did.
You just wanted to end. You wanted to end it with something.
It's a twist. He's M. Night Shyamalan-ing you.
It's a twist.
You thought there'd be no sound effect. Boom! He gives you one. All right. To narrow the field of discussion down a bit. I'm going to arbitrarily restrict what kind of zombies we're talking about.
Okay.
If you want to ignore me after that, I can't stop you. So, but I'll give it my best shot.
But it would be polite to mention them as contrast to the ones that we're discussing.
There you go.
And then taunt the audience who doesn't know about them.
Taxonomy of zombies is a heavily fraught subject. This is my take on it. It doesn't matter how they got to be zombies. It doesn't matter whether they have a heartbeat. None of that all matters. That's paint. That's set decoration. What matters is three things. Three things matter. Are they fast or are they slow? Does the whatever makes them a zombie, does it spread or not? How it spreads exactly, again, is set decoration. What's really important is whether it spreads or not. And left to their own devices, are they violent or not? Those are the three things that matter. The kind of zombies that I think we're talking about, that's a better way to put it. The kind of zombies I think we're talking about, whether they're fast or slow doesn't really matter for what we're discussing. That it spreads does, because otherwise you have whatever you have when you start, and then after you've dealt with those, you're done. So it spreads, and left to their own devices, they're violent. Does anybody have a strong disagreement or a contrasting opinion?
I'm good with that topic.
You good with that?
Yeah, I think we can do that.
Yeah.
So basically the standard popular ones. The scary zombies that are going to come after you and do horrible things, and you're going to get it if they get you.
Yeah. Well, see, the reason why I'm making that, because there are actually...
lots of different kinds.
There are actually lots of different kinds of zombies. You've got your original voodoo zombies.
The Haitian.
I can make...
Yeah, which left to their own devices are not violent and don't spread.
But they're also more Gollum type anyway.
Yeah. And you've got... And then you've got the whole, George Romero versus John Russo thing. George Romero, shambling, ghouls, slow... flesh-eating, not necessarily brain-eating, but flesh-eating. So naturally violent, And then you got the John Russo Return of the Living Dead movies, where they're fast, and they specifically are going after your brains. But I think most of that is set decoration. The really important things are... Fast-slow is important because that affects how you deal with them.
Yes.
Whether it spreads or not is important because that changes drastically the type of story being told. And then... whether left to their own devices, whether they're violent or not, also changes drastically how you have to deal with them. So, that's my spiel. Broad strokes. I started left side this first time. Let me start with you. And day two, it's already out Bruck somewhere. Somewhere there's contagious, violent zombies, fast or slow. You hear about it. What's the first thing you do? Because chances are it won't sound like zombies on the radio.
Oh, yeah. It, it never does. There's always that weird outbreak. There's a contagion.
Hysteria.
Yes. Some sort of meningitis or something of that nature that requires you to be careful in an area. Rabies outbreak.
So what's the first thing you do when something pings your zombie senses on the news?
I would have to check. I would stockpile my arsenal.
Bit late at that point, though, isn't it?
Well, no, I mean, not weaponry, but I mean, just, kick his face. I don't know. Actually, I'm going to pass. Let me come back to that.
The first thing you do is, my first thing would be to make sure that you have supplies. If you are not in the area where the outbreak is, because it will not, let's assume that's not going to hit global-wide everybody, 25% of the population wakes up the next day, they're zombies. Let's just go with that. I have heard stories where that is what happens. It's 25% of the population wakes up the next day and they're zombies.
Well, it's like Night of the Comet.
Yeah.
Basically, overnight, the whole population turns.
Yes.
But most movies, because...
have a slow progression.
Yeah. You get more tension that way. So that's why you see that more in movies.
Yes. If you are not in an area where the outbreak is occurring, stockpile. Get your food, get your non-perishables, get your weapons, get something to board up your house. Because my attitude is, I'm going to stay low, stay quiet while everybody else is panicking. Hide. Let everybody else become bait. Zombies will go after the flashy thing that they can catch versus the one they don't see. So that's my attitude for the first couple of days.
I think I agree with that, except for you also have to consider that the people who don't have what you have, even if you're prepared, and they're not zombies, they might come after you, so you have to not only prepare against the zombies, but to prepare against all those unprepared people who want to survive as well. So that's the sort of like, there's like really two threats, us and them. And the us may end up being a bigger threat realistically, depending upon the proliferation rate. But yes, preparation is definitely important. And if you're wise, you're prepared. Zombies is just one of the many things that can go wrong that you need to be prepared for.
Well, that's a good point, but I do want to come back to that, as far as human beings actually being the more significant threat. I would say you see something on the news, chances are it's going to be a big city. Chicago, New York, something. Maybe not even... I don't know. Anybody here not American citizens? Anybody? All right. I can speak for all of us. We are very America-centric. We kind of always assume that whatever is big is going to... important is going to happen. It's going to start here. There's a whole rest of the world. It could start in Shanghai. It could start in Hong Kong. It could start in some weird South American town you've never heard of. Chances are, if it happens there, it'll end there because they're a lot more self-reliant than we are. They know where their food comes from. I don't have any idea where my food comes from. I buy it in a package. So let's just say, though, it happens in the United States because that's probably the only way you're going to hear about it before it's too late. Because if it happens in China, by the time you hear about it, it's too late. Anybody here ever see any news items from China?
Rarely.
I mean, even big stuff. You know,
Japan.
And that we're talking like a global disaster. It takes a tidal wave smashing into a nuclear reactor
and knocking a continent 7 feet off its point
for us to hear about that. So,
and then when Justin Bieber gets a haircut, it gets bumped.
Yeah. So let's say for sake of argument, it happens somewhere where you hear about it. So it'd be like Chicago, New York, something like that, or military base. Because you just know those guys are doing something sneaky out there. So you hear about it. That is too late to start stockpiling your guns. So you kind of have to choose now whether or not you want to be the crazy gun guy. Maybe you don't.
You're still focusing on guns.
Maybe you don't. Well, no. I started with guns.
Somebody who actually knows how to do this?
And actually, we'll get to weapons later.
Oh, this isn't weapons.
Wait, we'll get to weapons later.
Breathe.
But say, just for sake of argument, you know, whatever you want to stockpile, it's kind of too late by the time you hear about it. Now, you might beat the crowd by a couple of days on stocking up on bottled water and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you... Thinking outside the zombie box, if you want to be prepared for something major that disrupts the distribution of what keeps you alive, average person, average man needs about 2,900 calories per day. Average woman needs about 2,300 calories per day. I know nobody's average. Yeah. I know nobody's average, but that's the average. Average person needs about a gallon of water a day. If you don't have those things, you're going to starve in about 3 weeks. You'll be dehydrated in about 3 days. So it's too late when you hear about it to stock up on stuff. If you want to be able to survive those first couple of days, it's too late. You already need cans of food. Mormons, I'm not a Mormon, I have friends who are, they have as part of their cultural thing to be prepared for this kind of stuff. So what I would say, and I had a point here, in the first couple of days, get in touch with your Mormon friends. That's the bottom line. Because I'm not, where am I going to keep a year's worth of food, you know? But they do, you know? They find places to put it, under the bed, you know? They build shelves out of it. It's crazy. So you hear about the zombie apocalypse, get in touch with your Mormon friends. Let them know you're there for them if something goes down. And by the way, how's that food supply going? I know it was a really long answer. But I had to explain. I couldn't just go straight to the Mormon thing because people are going to go, what the fuck? What? That makes no sense at all.
No, they're not the only people. I mean, you've got your entire German Baptist community. It also is important to know your own community. Like right here, right now, Floyd is an artesian well. All water flows downhill from it. So that's one of the safest places to go, is to find out where your water sources are, because you need that water and you're going to run out of it.
Assuming the water isn't 10 minutes up.
Right. Well, no, the thing about Floyd, it being artesian, it is coming from way down deep and coming up. And so the chances of it being contaminated are pretty slim. Not only that, but stockpiling seeds, because that's something you can even do with a windowsill garden for small things. But you would need them, and that's something you can trade in the future. You've got to have salt. Without salt, you're going to have a lot of biological problems. So if you can't stockpile much, those are important things. Minor medical supplies, because anything major, you're probably going to have too many problems with anyway. And as far as weapons, things that don't need to have replacement parts. Guns require replacement parts. So becoming familiar with other forms of self-protection, such as martial arts weapons, or in my case, I'm an archer. These are things that are very, very useful to have, because you can make what you need to replace these things, because not many people have the ability to make their own bullets.
Yeah.
And if you're using an M16, you're really going to have some trouble making it. So it's easier, if you're going to go with guns, to go with black powder, because that is something you can replace. That is something that we have the technology that's low enough that you can actually manufacture the parts to make it yourself if you have to. But now is a time, since we don't have an apocalypse going on, you have the luxury of figuring out what would you do. And our group for fun is planning our zombie bug out party this fall, which is you get a random call that something weird has happened. You have X amount of time to get to the cabin in Floyd, where we're going to play with everybody's toys and picnic. But I can tell you one person at the convention right now who's got a zombie bug out kit in his car. Just for the fun of it, because our running joke at work is that we are going to be the bath salt zombie ground zero where we work. And so this is our running joke of having our stuff ready, because there's the compound, so what do you do? And it's a work topic, but it's something to play with right now. If we actually had, say, the comet hit or the meteor hit, or if we had the 2013 apocalypse or whatever, what would you have done? And so, just for the fun of it, you do the zombie preparedness things, and you get ready for a natural disaster. How do you stockpile, and what do you do if, say, your stockpile is contaminated? Then where do you go? What's your next step? And it becomes a fun topic of conversation of just being sadistic and warped. And if I could ring my entire house with treadmills, I would. Because that would solve the whole zombie problem right there.
Jason, was it? Is it Jason?
Yes.
You passed. Do you want to add something now?
No. You both covered it quite adequately. I mean, the first thing I would do, I would probably hug my boy, but that's the first thing I do every day. So, I mean, I would deal with the rest of the world's problems.
Well, that's really sweet.
Aww.
I miss Sorry. Back to dead people.
The walking.
Well, wow, way to poke some reality into
it. Well, I also forgot to mention I'm involved with the Night of the Night of the Living Dead, another one, Genesis, which is sort of a prequel and a sequel combined with that. So that's something that's going to be
crazy. I'm a huge fan of Fido. Have you seen it?
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Fido is awesome.
But I do have important things to say about weapons, though. That's something I've been on the zombie panels about. So whenever we get to that, I actually have quite nice
definitely
things to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, hey. Well, apparently we want to talk about the weapons.
No, it's your,
yay!
It's your Undead Rodeo. I'm just one of those.
Let's start with the Bruce.
Special
the
Ed.
Yes.
You want me to call you the Bruce?
I think the one's fine. The. It's fine. It's
can
fine.
You hear the quotation marks when I say the Bruce?
The Bruce. Yeah.
I introduce to you, ladies and gentlemen, the Bruce. Weapons. Okay, let's set stage a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. The infection or whatever. Whatever the MacGuffin is has spread to the point where most of the people you see are people who want to eat you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's come to the point where simply hiding is not enough.
Okay.
You have to be able to
survive
an encounter.
Yes.
So
now
that's not just limited to weapons, but how do you survive the encounters?
Well, as part of what I was saying about the hiding, you'll hide until the first panic's over, then get the hell out of Dodge. Go somewhere where it's not densely populated. But with the weapons, and we'll get back to that later, I'm sure. Weaponry. The first thing that you want to bring is a long weapon. A long handheld weapon. Firearms are great. You know what they do? They make noise. What attracts zombies? Your flesh and noise. Okay? I would save the firearms for the last ditch. If you are in deep trouble, you're getting surrounded, then forget noise. Get out of Dodge. Do whatever you can. But I would go the handheld weapons. They don't break often. You get the good ones. You can talk about a pike or something. Yeah, say again? A machete. I mean, even go a little bit longer than that. Machete's good. They may break, but I want something that's going to be able to puncture the cranium.
Sword.
but I do want something that's a long-distance weapon, a short-distance weapon, such as a K-bar, a machete, something sharp, something... you can go under your lawnmower and pull the blade off of that. That's heavy and sharp, and it will do. Okay, and then you always make sure that you have the sidearm, you know, your short-range weapon, something, you know, 9mm, something that can hold 15 rounds and easy to change out.
You know, something that often gets overlooked is the bow and arrow.
Yes.
It's a little archaic, but it is both range and pointed.
Yes. Yeah,
and it works
is
against vampires.
Well, the only problem with crossbows that I have heavy problem with. You know how long it takes to reload one of those things?
Yes.
Yeah. You have to go, pink!
And
you've got that strength to pull it, because it's a 100-pound pull for some of them. Pull, reload,
That's why the Walking Dead guy shoots one zombie and then just like takes it and then stabs the rest of them.
Yes, exactly. And he also only has two bolts.
Bruce, what was your thought on silencers on firearms?
In practicality, they actually shorten the range of the weapon, and good luck finding one. They're illegal, so it kind of limits the possibility of actually really getting
one.
You could still make one. Okay, definitely the homeschool, read the anarchist cookbook, got that. But silencers, great if you can get one, wonderful. They still make a little bit of noise. And ammo, they're not going to be producing much. Once that apocalypse starts, so what you got is what you got.
Right, I mean, you mentioned having firearms. So
mm-hmm.
I thought that might help.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure.
Yeah, and assuming that you can only kill these things by hitting them in their head, which I guess is accepted myth, the handheld, like an axe or something, would be really good, something with some heft to it. And maybe even a longer axe, but I think I'd still rather have a shotgun and take my chances with the noise.
I actually do own a
shotgun axe.
God, that's awesome.
Oh, that'd be awesome. But I don't. But I actually own the Klingon sword, the Batleth. I actually have one. It's hanging on the far end of my bedroom. So and it will take out doors. It'll take out zombies, and it's real. So I was like, ah, it's going first, and then
4-inch reach because of the way you hold it.
Not if you hold one end.
Those things were designed to keep fluid too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those things. It may be a costume weapon, but that thing weighs enough pounds. I'm gonna be able to put a deep scumbag skull if I have to.
Also, I believe I would prefer a revolver over a gun with a clip, just because apparently there's a lot less chance of a jam with a revolver. So that's a consideration. Oh, yeah. But then you only got 6 shots compared to more than that. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come back to me because I have very specific ideas.
Okay, well, I was saying martial arts weapons. I think it was in either Zombie Survival Guide or World War Z, I can't remember which one, that discussed the, essentially it's a Shaolin...
A Lobo.
What is it called?
It's a Lobo. Or a lobotomizer.
Okay. Anyway, one end has the dull ball on it for weight and swing, and the other end has basically a long paddle saw. Uh-huh. And paddle saws are great. You can pick them up at the hardware store. Basically, imagine an axe with saw blades down the edge of it. And it will do all kinds of work. It's my husband's favorite yard tool, which terrifies me. And it, you know, you can take the handle off of that and put a long handle onto it. And believe me, that's going to come in and do some damage. Another thing, this is me, my twisted lifestyle, a very simple whip blade. And what that is a piece of metal, triangular shaped. You take a small piece of chain about this long, put it through a bolt hole in the center of the, I guess the bottom of the A, sharpen the edges, and then attach the other end to a cord. And you can use this as a swing, catch it around something's neck, it'll naturally swing around, and when you pull, it embeds, and you can decapitate from a distance. So it gives you the range, and it's easy to replace. And it's cheap. I mean, you can make it out of any scrap of metal or tin can.
Well, nice, but it sounds like it takes a little bit of skill to use.
Oh, that's why you get together with your friends and you mess around with the trees. We make jokes about using an arrow to put a rope through a zombie and then basically tethering it between two trees, letting it run back and forth. We talk about rending oil off of zombies and how exactly one would make candle oil off of zombies. And, you know, this is entertaining for us. Yes, we're sick.
I'd imagine.
Dude, he's the one who can go in your pocket.
Imagine the stink from that, though. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, seriously.
Cause
imagine the stink from the sewage that isn't going anywhere. I mean, you'll
Hey, there's gonna be funk going on.
Jason,
for the stink, you use violet oil, but that's different.
Surviving the period of phase where you're gonna have to kind of encounter them and survive. What are your thoughts?
I want to talk about weapons. Right?
You want to jump into the weapons? Go ahead.
Yeah. What are we talking about? But you know, the thing that everyone gets all gung ho. When they think about zombies, like they're going to stockpile, they're going to get all the guns and all the weapons and stuff like that. And those are really, really, those are fantastic. They're fun to play with. They make stuff go boom. But you're always going to run out of ammo at some point. Or, you know, everybody wants a chainsaw, you know, to pay homage, you know, to the man. And then, but you're going to run out of fuel or petrol or something like that at some point. So it's like, so the sharp and pointy things can save your life. That's my biggest, you know, when I talk about stockpiling an arsenal of weapons. I mean, I'm not allowed to have guns, mainly because I don't like a lot of people. I have these anger issues, and my wife won't let me have boomsticks. But I get to have plenty of sharp and pointy things. So that's my advice is to get the things that don't require the bullets and things that you have to reload and stuff like that. It requires a different skill set, but I mean, honestly, if the whole world's going tits up, you're gonna have to learn a few new tricks anyway. So, what was the other question I was supposed to answer?
Good enough.
You had him at tits up. Yeah.
My own thoughts about it. If you are within range of a zombie that they can actually reach out and touch you, you have made a crucial error in judgment. It should never get to that. Now, you still need to be able to cope with that because none of us are perfect. So you do need some kind of up-close weapon. Mm-hmm. I think it should be something very, very sturdy because you don't want to have to go and find a new one if it breaks. Because chances are it's going to break at the most inconvenient time possible. So,
depending if Joshua is right in the story or not. Yes.
My personal preferences, as far as close-in stuff, I would not go for something flamboyant, which requires a lot of skill and practice ahead of time. It's just, I don't think that's realistic. That's just me. I'd go for a crowbar, which is pretty freaking unbreakable.
Yeah.
If anybody doesn't know what a crowbar is, it's a long metal thing, goes like this, and then has a curve at the end. Mm-hmm. With your, if you're, well, just a moment. If you're fighting hand-to-hand with something that has blood in it, after the first couple of things you take down, it's going to be on you, and I don't know if anybody here has actually been in this kind of fight. It's horrifically sticky and slippery. People, if it's something that doesn't go past the end of your hand is going to slide along it. You're going to wind up cutting yourself if it's a knife, or it's going to just slip out of your hand. You stab them and pull back, and it stays there, and your hand comes away. Crowbar has a hook at the bottom. It's really hard to drop. At the top end, it's got the pry things, like on a hammer, like a claw hammer. The one at the end, if the bottom is facing this way, at the top it's facing toward you. So if you swing and hit something, the pointy end isn't hitting whatever you're hitting. It's a blunt object, which means it's not going to crack into their skull and stick. It's going to be like this. So I personally think crowbar the way to go. Machete also really good. It's shorter. Mm-hmm. It's sharper. It's
sturdy.
It's sturdy. Not as sturdy as a crowbar, but it is sturdy.
Machete that Danny Trejo had that was like 9 to 9 foot blade.
Well, also
I'm talking
ladies,
about stuff you can buy at a hardware store, yeah. Basically, is what I'm talking about.
For ladies, a Gurkha is wonderful. Now, that one, Gurkha, if you can imagine a machete, except that it has a little bit of a curve to it. So it's got a very fluid line to it, like a teardrop on the end of it, but all the weight is in the head of it. So when you bring it down, just the motion creates greater weight and power on the end. So if you have delicate wrists, I mean, I chop through trees this big with a Gurkha. So you can just and cut through it and don't even know you're doing it. So for a lady, that's probably one of the nicest things you can get. And if you look in any catalog, you can find them and just go to town.
You can still be dainty and kick on dead ass.
Oh, yeah.
Any doubts about that, folks?
Yeah. But let's say that the mail isn't being delivered. Where would you go find one of those?
Well, I traded a friend of mine for it.
Let's say you've lost yours.
Well, if I wanted to make one, then I actually would grind one because I actually learned to make stone tools. I'm probably one of the weirdest people you're going to meet. I'm one of these people that...
So let's go back to that first couple of days. You need to get her. You need to give her a call.
Okay.
You need the man with the batteries. Yeah. And then this one.
I'm the person with the acre lot at ground zero because they're going to spread out from ground zero. And I'm on the neighborhood aquifer.
So my own take on the up-close thing is be prepared for it, but try to avoid it if you can. I'm a big fan. Oh, that's going to sound wrong.
Go with it
anyway.
Say it anyway.
Go with it anyway.
There's a reason why we don't use bows and arrows anymore to kill other people. There's a reason why. Guns go further. They're easier to learn how to use competently. And it's just easier. Okay?
Also, when you're going with firearms... Everybody's like, I'm going to get an M16. It's a full auto. Yeah, congratulations. Who here has actually fired an automatic weapon before? Okay. How many times do I actually try to go full auto and hit with every single bullet?
Yeah, no.
That is terrible.
Yeah. As far as ranged encounters go,
mm-hmm.
Number one, it is not your job to kill all the zombies in the world.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Because they outnumber you like...
They're going to not number.
Literally, like hundreds of thousands to one. It's not your job. Your job is to survive. So in that space I was talking about where
mm-hmm.
we're not yet getting the hell out of Dodge and going somewhere safe.
Yes.
That's like the next step. That's like mm-hmm. the next question. Just so you know where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
But that point where you have to leave your initial safe zone and encounter mm-hmm. them and
yeah.
survive.
Go from A to B.
Number
yeah.
one, avoid them if you can.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, if you have to engage them, use a ranged weapon. I personally... would pick a gun because I don't have the time or the patience to learn how to use a bow properly. And if anybody here is like a bow hunter, you know, those bows you see at the Walmart that have like the wheels
compounds.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever picked up one of those and tried to pull the string?
Yeah, it sucks.
I can get like this far.
Oh. Yeah, anywhere between like a 35 and a 65 pound pull.
Unless
like
I've got a long bow and I've got a small short one because it's a short long bow, mm-hmm. but it's the right one for me. Find stuff that you're comfortable with, and the nice thing for me is that we're not allowed to use projectile weapons in my area, and no one can hear my bow, so I can go out in the backyard and play all I want. But I shot the neighbor's trash can, so it's not good.
Yeah.
Another weapon that shouldn't be ignored, but it has been banned since 1989, is lawn darts. Oh, fuck, they were they were banned
pardon
for,
my
causing,
language,
but yes. for causing cerebral cranial injuries. So if you combine a set of sandars, you've got athletic activity yep. and zombie killing.
Well,
so you
actually,
can maintain a steady physical workout.
Somebody,
and kill the
believe it or not, a long screwdriver works like a lawn dart because I used to play lawn darts
yeah,
as a
but
kid.
Have the little, the,
no, it doesn't have the cute stuff. It doesn't have the added weight to give you the added thrust.
Oh, yeah.
But you can use one of those, and it's just like knife flipping.
I have a set of lawn darts. They're hard as hell and fun.
Now, as far as ammunition, which you mentioned, or I think it's you,
yeah.
about running out of bullets.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Pick
you
something.
Something
pick, if you go the firearms route, pick something as common as dirt. You do not want to have to go find 40 Smith & Wesson for your pistol.
Mm-hmm.
You want 9mm, 223 if you have to go there. That's what M16s and AR-15s use.
Yeah.
However, that's actually not what you should be picking. You should be picking like 30-06, which is a hunting rifle round. They're common as dirt. They're big, they're slow, they leave a big hole. You don't need to fire a million rounds at zombies. You only need to shoot them once and put them down.
Yep.
Your goal is not to be Rambo. It's to get away and survive, right?
Well, consider at least two shots, because zombies, most people cannot make a successful headshot unless they've got a substantial amount of range practice. That's one of the common things. You have to build muscle memory, and you have to keep it up. So you need to be in the range every couple weeks if you're going to try to go for a shot to the head. So you would want something that makes a large hole, just like you said, and you want to aim for one body shot to stop them just for a minute, even if it means to bring them down to the ground, so that you can actually take a moment to aim and get the headshot. Because aiming for headshot, then you need the automatic, because you're just going to be doing a line across there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard.
Now, if you're going to go with crossbows or bows, my understanding of modern crossbows is that you basically can't use wooden arrows. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
That it'll shatter them. It'll break them.
I'm finding that right now with the graphites. They're supposed to be utterly fantastic. So we took a friend out to teach her how to use it, and I got they call them aluminum, but they're graphite. And these things were just going crazy on me. I mean, the fletchings were ripping off. They were falling apart.
So if the arrows you use...
I make my own at this point.
So,
I'm done with it.
So you know how to make them.
Yeah, but I'm not good at it. I buy the stuff because they're better.
Yeah.
And they're cheap.
You can probably, in the zombie apocalypse, you can go raid the Walmart and get boxes of 9mm.
Yeah.
Or depending on where you live. But how easy is... I'm not an archer. I think bows and arrows are awesome.
Arrows
I've been looking for one.
First off, you can get a bunch of dowel rods from the craft store. Okay. There's your first source. Otherwise, you go for the straightest branches you can. It's good to know your native flora, which I'm a horticulturist, so that's my thing. I walk through the woods and bring back lunch. again, I'm the one they hang out with. But you would get certain types of woods that are better than others, and then what you do is, at least for me, use them when they're green, heat them over fire so that you can straighten them out, and that also steams them into place. And basically, that gives you your straight piece to work with. And then basically you'd be using your bird feathers. Turkey's the most popular, but larger wing feathers are the best. Split them in half, and you would use resin. I find cherry tree sap one of the better ones to mount them in place, two in line, one off center, and or one on the center, so that you have an open area, and that's basically it. And then you just run the other end through a pencil sharpener and notch the bottom.
So it sounds like with a little bit of preparation and a little bit of practice.
I'm
not being facetious.
If you have a pencil sharpener, you're aces.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that it's not that different from making bullets. If you want to go for black powder, then essentially you just stop over at Kroger's, you pick up a small cast iron pan, and that can work as your cruet to go ahead and melt. Then you would be melting your metal down, which go down to the thrift store and you pick up stuff that's got a lot of lead in it. And base, you know, well, most of the silver that they've got in the thrift store is lead. But you would be melting that down to make your lead balls. And then you'd have to be doing small amounts of cloth packing. And basically it means hanging out with the black powder people and learning how to do it and how to make the small lead shot. But at worst comes to worst, you get a whole bunch of ball bearings and you go to town. Oh, God, yeah, a ball bearing and a slingshot will make a rotten happy day for a squirrel. Rotten day for the squirrel, happy day for
a squirrel. Or a zombie squirrel.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Zombie squirrels.
So, this gentleman, let me make sure, did anybody want
to... Oh, no, we're
there's
good.
No possible way I can top that.
So. I'm thinking she should just be the she should...
I'd be shooting arrows into the
shower.
Like,
no, I mean, when we... I think we should just always start at him and go down and just let her anchor it. Because I don't think anybody...
Dude,
anybody. You had a question. What was yours?
While I do agree with most of what you guys say. I do disagree with some things. My biggest question about a...
Wait, what do you disagree with? No,
we might be here for a little bit longer. One thing that always intrigues me about zombie apocalypse ideas...
Apocalypse.
Is everybody is so concerned about what they would do if there was a zombie outbreak. My thing is, I'm not so much worried about the undead coming back to get me. It's my fellow human. Mm-hmm.
That's an upcoming question.
I'll stay calm.
Because that's an extremely important thing that often gets
I feel that a zombie apocalypse would actually play out more like Mad Max than it would like The Walking Dead.
I don't disagree.
We would be killing each other before we would be worried about
come winter, the zombies are going to be screwed up anyway. When people are hungry is when our neighbors are our most threats.
Realistically, a zombie apocalypse
last
2 weeks.
Okay, so to wrap up the initial leaving your initial hidey hole,
domicile,
and actually being forced to through some circumstance, the encounters with the Walking Dead or what have you.
Fire.
To wrap that up, weapons should be something you either already know how to use. Or something simple and easy to find.
Stupidly simple.
Something sturdy. What?
Lawn darts.
Stupidly simple to use.
If you've already got the lawn darts, you kind of wait. Do you have like a bandolier to put them in? Because you need a bandolier with your lawn darts, man.
I will make you the bandolier for your lawn darts. I want to see this. You must come to the zombie escape party.
So there's something you already are familiar with. Or something that's simple and sturdy and easy to find. And if you use something that's long-ranged, it sounds to me like whether you go with something, you know, modern.
Yeah,
because
in a fight, you're going to fall back on what you know.
But
familiar.
Whatever that is, none of...
Slap fighting zombies!
You'll leave me alone, you're so annoying!
Like, what are you doing?
But whatever it is, guns aren't magic wands. Guns are simpler and easier to pick up and learn how to use than a bow or a crossbow, but they're not magic wands. You still do have to practice, and you still do have to know how to or learn how to handle them safely. Otherwise, you're going to wind up shooting your friend in the foot, and that's just embarrassing. And it's particularly the zombie apocalypse, because although on the bright side, you can outrun him at that point. So, so that wraps up weapons.
Yeah.
The next thing was going to be the human beings. What's your question?
And I may have missed this because I came in a little late, but how do you feel about the effectiveness of traps as opposed to weapons?
I think a treadmill...
If you played Mousetrap as a kid, you're set.
I think a treadmill hooked up to a generator is perfect. Because every time they get on that sucker, it'll just go ahead and keep powering up your iPod.
Now, are you thinking in terms of like your eventual ensconced fortress? Well, we can come to that. So let's come back to this. Circle back to that. You had a question?
I hate to bring up movies like you said here too.
Wait. There's zombie movies?
Yes. everybody I'm assuming has seen the Resident Evil movies.
The what?
Resident Evil.
The first one was outstanding.
The first one, the rest of them are. But the one I'm talking about is Afterlife, which, you know, the whole series is in that after one. But the one where she has, like, it looks like the elephant guns or whatnot. Can you actually, we're talking about weapons here, like, she takes quarters, 50 70s, and puts these things in these elephant guns. I was wondering if that was actually, because we're talking about weapons, I thought somebody would know, does that actually work with one of these things?
Not in a shotgun, but something like the pirates used to use, and I'm trying to think of
like a blunderbuss?
Blunderbuss.
Okay. Blunderbuss, you can put, like, nails and stuff in it, can't you?
Yeah. Yes.
It's also short range if we learn anything from Looper.
We got that back there. She's had laying the lay hands
for a while. I came in a little late, too, so I might have missed this, but we're wrapping up the discussion on weapons, and we all seem to be assuming that when the zombie apocalypse hits, we're going to be at home near our store. What if we're out? What about makeshift weapons? We haven't discussed those.
Oh, yeah, we're far away, we're at a convention, and it happens in our hometown. What do we do?
I'm going into the freaking dealer room in there. Somebody in there, I'm sorry. I'm gonna take your weapons.
We're breaking in the vendor room.
I'm breaking the vendor room right now. There's a ton of weapons in there.
Okay, but that's a good point, though.
Well, honestly, if you look all around you, there's always a weapon.
Oh, yeah, you can kill people with pencils.
No matter where you're at, there's
a My boss was not happy when I taught the coworkers how to make projectile weapons out of office supplies so that we could use. I'm sorry, I'm sick. We actually used the message board with all of our dates that the company pays for your days off. We were using projectile darts out of office supplies to pick the date, and whoever shot what got that day. I'll tell you this. I'm a security guard.
I'm picturing a Gatling gun made out of highlighters and push pins.
I can make that happen. You're sitting next to MacGyver. Oh, yeah. Boomerang, those high heel shoes are boomerangs.
The handsome gentleman in the blue t-shirt. Here's why I prefer a crowbar over a baseball bat. Because this is something I've given a lot of thought to. Crowbars are made of steel, and you can pry open a security door with it, which is important if people are chasing you, and you need to hide behind a metal door. So crowbar will get you inside that metal door. Baseball bat, but it won't. Baseball bats are wood. While they are very, very, very sturdy, and they're made out of really good hardwoods, they're not indestructible. Crowbar basically is indestructible. So that's why. Also, when you're swinging it, the hook at the bottom of a crowbar, no matter how slippery your hand is, you're not going to drop it as long as you can keep your hand around. Baseball bats do have the thing at the bottom, which is better than nothing. Better than most knives. Yeah.
If you have a sandbox, you can do
Walmart will probably create the zombie
apocalypse. Well, keep in mind, anywhere where people congregate, chances are when you go there, there will already be zombies there. Yeah. So you need to be prepared for that.
We have a question over here.
Question. Guys. Hey, can we tamp down the noise. I'm glad you're excited. I'm glad.
Powered.
You gotta plug it in. Actually, if you get the lithium, that'll last you like a good half hour.
Yeah. So 35 minutes later.
And then what?
Then you're out of nails.
Yeah.
And then you throw the nail gun at the zombies, obviously.
And then they duck, like Superman does. Come on, shoot Superman all day long. Hi, I'm Superman. Throw the gun.
Well, actually, we can tie that into what she said and what somebody over there said. If you're not where all your cool toys are, you got to use what you got. If you're at work and you're a construction worker and what you've got's a nail gun, go to it. You know, do what you can.
Or you can basically glue the end of the nail, the head of the nail, to the bottom of the dowel rod, and you've already got a nice, strong, pokey thingy. We need her.
Someone over here had a... Yes, sir.
A lot of writers seem to ignore the fact that something that infects humans is likely to infect other warm-blooded creatures also. You were laughing at the idea of zombie squirrels, but...
It's not that common. I know that seems like a possibility, but there are very few creatures that can have those possible those contaminations. Usually it involves domesticated animals that have been involved with humans, so the joke about a zombie horse is actually possible. But to wildlife, it's far less possible. There are only a few viruses right now that can cross species.
Even
we don't know for certain. We don't know what that is, but the CDC needs to get on it.
Well, wait. The thing you're actually getting to is actually what is making people into zombies. If it's a virus, chances are it's pretty human specific. It's, as she said, viruses, bacteria, even parasites are extremely species specific. You've got certain kinds of parasites that only attack this animal and not that animal. I mean, that's really specific. You've got particular mites who attack certain kind of bees and not other kinds of bees. So you might think it would make sense that if I catch it, maybe my cat can catch it and give, you know, I got a zombie cat now. Oh my God, I got to kill Vixen. which would be so difficult for me to do because I've had to put down cats and it's heartbreaking. But realistically, if it's some kind of disease vector, chances are it's, if it's humans who are walking around as zombies, realistically, it's really unlikely that it's going to affect anything else because that's not really how the real-world diseases work.
It takes a fair bit of work for it to cross species.
Now, if it's something else, let's say it's some kind of weird chemical infection, or not infection, what do you call it? Chemical...
Contamination.
Contamination, thank you. Or radiation. Or a weird-ass night of the comet, something goes overhead. That, you know, you're kind of opening the can of weird science at that point, and it could be anything.
The polonium has hit the table.
Two more, and then we're going to go to human beings, okay? Is that cool? All right, you. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't affect bees.
It doesn't affect bees.
You mean there's
bees.
A fungus among us?
But someone can
jeopardize it. Well, they've just created a way to silicon copy all cells. And they can create the quote-unquote zombie cell. But...
Yeah. Now, as far as, like, reasons why zombies can happen, some kind of weird parasite, a fungus, viruses, radiation, chemical contamination. I mean, it's really a bottomless bucket of bad stuff. So it could be literally anything. That's kind of why I said why people are zombies. It's pretty much just set dressing. Because really, you could say it's anything.
Zombie squirrel outbreak.
Damn zombie squirrels.
You.
I'm just not too bad, but we're getting safe. Got three dogs that are barking at anything. So, when we know there's a couple of people, I'm not saying that, it happens, and you know your dogs are barkers.
Dogs have got to go.
Do they need to go? I mean, get ready.
No, actually.
Get ready. You know, be safe. You know.
Hey, let's deviate a bit. Wait. Let's deviate a bit, because that's not something I'd consider. But that's an excellent question. Let's come to you last, because you can be the linchpin.
Okay.
All right. Let's start over here again. Animals. Companion animals, dogs, cats. I don't know how useful my cat's going to be. But there's a reason why human beings have domesticated dogs, and it's not because they're happy to see you when you come home. What do you think? Animals, are they more of a, you have to feed them, you kind of have to protect them and take care of them,
depends on what kind of animal, though. I mean, if you say animals, I mean, if you say dog, I mean, there's a much more inherent predilection, you know, or a heartwarming feeling when you think of, you know, man's best friend of a dog. So, like, am I worried about my fish if the zombie apocalypse happens? I love Fish. He's a surly old
guy. Your fish's name is Fish?
Yeah.
Oh, like, that's not weird. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm not as, like, I love fish. I'm not maybe as worried, but I think it maybe depends on the nature of the animal. Or maybe it does. I mean, you're going to have that, you know, that affinity, that love, that, you know, that adulation for anything. But if it's something that makes noise and stuff like that, if it causes a ruckus, so to speak, I mean, you have to weigh that. I mean, what's more important to you? I mean, you know, the dog that you love, or protecting your family, perhaps. You know, or is the dog your family? Or are you just going to, like, put the dog with somebody that you hate and be like,
hey, can you take care of Fluffy for a weekend?
You know, as opposed to, like, having a cat. Cats are dicks anyway, so it's just like... or if you have, like, a squirrel collection, you know. I think it depends on the nature of the beast, I would say.
The Bruce.
I'm going to go along the same lines. If the dog or cat or whatever is going to endanger you... or slow you down? Sorry, you know, it's gonna break my heart. I'm gonna cry my eyes out. Dog's gonna go.
What do you think?
Well, I think that second stage of beyond those first few days and a longer term survival, it'd be nice to have some horses. We like our chickens. If you got some cows, you're gonna be eaten. But then again, people are gonna come to get your stuff. But
goats.
You know, when gas, yeah, goats. So I would think. I would rather have those animals than a pet or protection just for the longer-term strategy.
Okay. I'm going to come last to you.
Okay.
This is something that honestly had not occurred to me until your question. I don't hunt, but I've got family members and friends who do. Hunting dogs are not pets who sit in your lap. They are working animals. And I'm thinking, if civilization goes south... there's not a whole lot that's immediately useful and kind of autonomous that can defend you. other than like a badass dog, you know? Now, I'm not talking like a little poodle. Big poodles, maybe so. Big poodles could kick ass. We don't really see those much in the United States, but even like a German Shepherd or something like that. Well, they're like, you know, police breeds. But a dog, you know, you feed it, it knows that you're its friend, it's got teeth, and as this fella kind of, well, as I pointed out when he asked about it, if the dogs are immune to the zombie apocalypse, they don't have the same risk of infection that you do when you get in hand-to-hand combat. So maybe if your dog is actually useful, it might be worth the time and trouble and noise and food it takes to take care of it. What do you think? Does that sound reasonable?
And then the dog gets its mouth of blood. The blood comes into your house.
Okay, so you need a lot of doggy mouthwash.
Yeah. In my case, it's milk bones, but that's different.
Okay, so don't kiss your dog on the lips after it fights the zombies.
Well, I mean,
It really does. It really does. And we're not really going to get into how it spreads because that's a whole new can of worms. What do you think?
Okay, I think having animals is an excellent idea. The problem specific to you is your dogs are not properly trained. You're going to have to work with
your
dogs.
Yeah, they're going to bark.
I've got a barker.
So
and
the dog trainers.
Well, it's not that hard. You can buy a bark off for $10. Your dog's going to learn to shut up when that's on. And if you give him a command word beforehand, he's going to know that you've got it on, and he's going to be quiet. You can also get a collar like that that'll work it. But the main thing with them is to teach them speak, because then you can say no speak, and the dog shuts up.
That was awesome.
And that just solved the problem. Did I block you with my hair?
No. He pointed out what time it was, and I'm like, whoa!
That's not what you said.
There were two more syllables after that.
Why the
I don't know what you think you saw.
Well, your dog should be trained from 5 months forward. I mean, you should work with it from early on.
My barking dogs now keep.
Yeah, well, my dog's an idiot. Right. He barks like that all the time.
I really hope this is the last panel of the evening.
Nope.
There's not one at 11, is there? That would be insane. What kind of?
But there is one at 12, and there is one at 11 in here.
Oh,
that's mental. Who would do that?
Everybody ahead of you? Yes.
That's just cruel.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because we're having fun.
I know.
All right. Let's make this very, very brief because because we should have already wrapped up. Human beings. Unlike zombies, work in groups, can strategize against you, can think about what you're doing, know that you have what they want. Human beings, in my opinion, are like the real threat once you get past the initial getting to know you first date phase of the zombie apocalypse. So, what's the best way to avoid being killed by your neighbors?
Avoid your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, avoid your neighbors. I generally tend not to be a big fan of people anyway. I love persons, hate people. Mm-hmm. But I like all you guys because you're brilliant, obviously. But yeah, I mean, in terms of avoiding neighbors, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. I kind of seclude myself anyway. I tend to be a wee bit of a hermit, so I'm not as worried about that. I don't even know who my neighbors are.
Sure nice real quick about your name, about people. Get the people that you like and can trust, and that's the only people that should be around you. Everybody else?
Shoot them. Thought you were
sorry.
A zombie.
Yeah. I'll stay away from you. Don't mess with me. I won't mess with you. You look at me sideways? Sorry.
If you're a people person, you may have better odds by like actually organizing your neighbors ahead of time. Our neighbors have a lot of illegal weaponry. And I used to think of the guys as like the rednecks who were noisy, and now I think of them as our friendly neighborhood militia. So it's all a matter of perspective. If they're on your side, it may be a plus instead of a threat. So I wouldn't automatically assume everybody's going to be as bad as we are and kill everybody to get their stuff.
He actually makes an excellent point.
But I live out in the country, so...
If you're going to survive any kind of catastrophic event that disrupts society on a wide scale, whether it be your zombie apocalypse, your robot holocaust, or any number of equally likely scenarios, survival past the first couple of days is going to depend on other people because you don't know how to do everything and you can't do everything. So actually having people that you know and can depend on, you know, and you might want to actually go make friends now. Not a bad idea.
Or hang out in my workplace.
And that way, when you and your friends are together and somebody comes along which threatens your group,
they've got your back.
They've got your back. And maybe the people coming up, you know, who are thinking, oh, wow, well, they're not by themselves. They're not easy pickings. I'll move on to the next person who's home alone with a shotgun.
Yeah, basically the same thing. I mean, you have your people that you know. Know the people that, well, at least in your neighborhood, which ones you wouldn't count on. The ones that would be dead weight, because that's the one you leave a zombie bait. I mean, you're fine with them every day, but there are some people you're just going to have to say, I'm sorry, goodbye. And that sounds horrible, but you have to be able to walk away from people. You have to be able to walk away from family if you have to. You know, I mean, there are some people that are going to require medication, that are going to require hospital care. You can't provide that after the zombie apocalypse. You've got to be able to say, I'm really sorry, we're done.
I'm not walking away from you guys. I just have to go screen my movie.
All right, cool.
I think we're done.
Yep. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.